Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, my co-host Tracy Mahan. Yeah, so excited to be here with you. Oh my goodness, have things are just keep going and going, and they're just so wonderful. I love how everything's working.
It's just great. It does keep working, doesn't it? It moves forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so excited for our special guest tonight. You know, and I don't know how this happened, because this is, she's one of our level three practitioners, and she's been a level three now for a year. Oh my gosh. I try to get them on right after they become a level three. And, I'm so sorry, Sarah. What happened? I just kept looking at your pictures like, oh, I've worked with her already. And then, oh my gosh, no, we haven't. And so everybody, Sarah Bressman, come as me. Yay!
You know what's great is it's almost my 1 year anniversary. I think it was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so. Oh. It was in March.
Happy anniversary and congratulations.
That's and you have such a wonderful, I was really thinking about this, and I know when you're in the classes and you tell your story, it's always, I love your story. I absolutely love your story because it's so inspiring. It inspires me tremendously. And so I hope it, I'm sure it inspires tons of people, because it's such a beautiful story of how you came, you know, what all happened to you and your journey, you know, and it's just so, it's so simple. And the way you say it, it was like, wow, that just makes total sense, you know, and your growth and everything. So that's what I want to start off tonight with, is like your journey and how you, you know, where you, because were you, you know, did you start at a young age? Were you always this magnificent practitioner who was just doing all these wonderful things and how, showing people how to heal themselves, you know, and stuff? Or did you have a story? I think you do. Of your journey and your path to, through metaphysics and into metaphysics and into QHHT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a lot of stories. I hope we get into a few of them today. That'll be so exciting getting to know you.
Oh my God, I've been so nervous about your questions, Tracy.
Oh my God. She knew it was you.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm. He was saying we, and I said, no, it's you.
You know,
it's you.
You know, maybe I should just let the two of you talk while I eat.
So we may have to share a little bit about that story later. No, she's like, no, we don't have to. But inside joke, everybody, it's, you'll get it eventually. You will get it someday.
Yeah.
Okay. Someday, I
maybe
promise.
Maybe sooner than later, but yeah. So Sarah, I did have the day off, and this is what happened with my day off. So
don't give her time off.
I will share. Yeah.
That means you got to keep me busy, otherwise things happen.
Oh my God. So,
if you guys are listening to this on the radio and not the video, I was holding a little chalice in my hand. And maybe Sarah will tell us a little bit about
that. I'll tell you a story. What story do you want to tell first?
Okay, first of all, welcome, Sarah. Like, we are already all over the place. And, okay, what I want you to tell first is your story, how you got here, just your journey, and then we'll go into all these crazy stories.
Okay. Well, how I got into this was, before I came into this life, I had a major sense of humor, because when I was a child, I just had so many problems. I was overweight, I couldn't sleep, I had anxiety, I had fears and phobias, and I even had OCD, where I would like open and close drawers. I seemed to be like an instant manifester. So if someone had a problem, I could easily get that problem just by knowing someone else had it. It was incredible. And on top of that, I really just didn't fit in. Like I didn't have any religion, because on my dad's side, they were Jewish. And on my mom's side, they were Quaker. And they were both like really religious on both sides. So they just couldn't really agree on Jewish Quakerism. So we didn't have a religion, which wasn't a big deal. It was actually wonderful until I was like six in the first grade, and the teacher needed a token Jewish person to tell the story of Passover. So they got my dad to do it, and my dad just decided to tell like the full-on blood and guts version of Passover. Like, I guess there's probably a better way to express the story, but he talked about like the smell of blood, like the innocent animals, you know, like the slaughtering of the firstborn and everything. And everyone was crying. Like, I was even crying, and I'd heard that story so many times, and that wasn't a big deal, you know, except for my dad never got invited back to talk about any other Jewish. But right after that, I had this friend that I used to play on the seesaw with, and she told me she couldn't play with me anymore because someone in my family killed Jesus. And it was like a turning point in my life. I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Someone in my family killed Jesus. Like, no wonder they don't really talk, and no wonder, you know, the Jewish side of my family always acted so guilty, you know. And I was like, from that point on, I think I had this like love of conspiracy stories. So I had that going for me. So I, as you can tell, I had like a lot going for me. I was overweight. I couldn't sleep. I had phobias, fears. I had OCD really bad, and someone in my life killed Jesus. So it was a mess, and none of my problems really got better. So my parents put me into therapy. So I was in therapy most of my young adult life. And it was really nice to have somebody to talk to, but I never really seemed to get any better. I mean, none of my problems got better. Some of them even got worse. Mm-hmm. And especially as my therapist would talk about them, I'd be like, oh my gosh. You know, it would sink in that maybe it was getting worse. And up until that point, I never learned of any other types of therapies or any other ways to help someone heal themselves. And ever since I can remember, I had this really strong desire to help other people. I just wanted to help other people, just whatever way I could. And so my plan was to go to school and be a psychologist. That was my plan, okay? Because I didn't know any other way to help people. So I went to college. And when I first got to college, well, it was like 2.5 months after I started college, this really amazing thing happened that changed my whole life. So I went back home to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. And they have this mirror when you walk into the house that's standing there and you can look at yourself. And I looked at myself in the mirror in their foyer and I noticed something. While I was away at college, I had completely forgotten to have all of my problems. I had lost a ton of weight, and I was eating pizza like every night and drinking beer. And so my eating habits hadn't changed. In fact, I thought they were worse, you know. And I had lost a ton of weight. I forgot to have all my fears and phobias. I felt like this new sense of freedom. And I looked at myself and I figured out the one thing that was different was that I changed my environment. So I completely got away from myself and I changed my thoughts. It was such a turning point in my life when I realized how powerful my thoughts were. And at that point, I really didn't have anybody to like talk to this about. It was like, you know, I changed my thoughts. Look what happened. It's amazing. So I just kind of kept it to myself and I didn't think anything about it. And after I graduated, I got this internship where I was a counselor in a halfway house for mentally ill people. So my job was to basically drug them. And I learned so much about different types of therapies, you know, drugs. And it was my job to give them the medication. Well, I think it took me maybe less than a day to feel like everything I learned was a lie. I mean, these people were amazing people. Some of them spoke to deceased relatives. Some of them spoke to angels or extraterrestrials. And they would take so much medication that within about 45 minutes, they'd be drooling on the couch. So I just felt like the system was broken. It wasn't what I wanted to continue with. So I quit that and I decided to become a bartender.
And, of course.
Well, they're both therapy. Yeah.
My parents were really not very happy, but at least I graduated. And I realized within like a couple months that I was making a ton of money. I mean, people would just come to my bar and they would tell me everything and they would tip me like $100. And it got to the point where my bosses like hated me. They'd be like, this is a nightclub, like don't bring tissues, you know, but I would make so much money. And I started to realize that I was already a therapist. And I would see people in Trader Joe's, this is in Boston, and they would point to me and they would say, hey, that's my bartender. You know, she helped me through my divorce. And people would just come and they would just, you know, it was amazing. But, you know, life happened and I got married and I had kids and I had to make a total lifestyle change. And I basically was just a stay-at-home mom for a little while until...
Yeah, don't say it like basically. You changed from one great and phenomenal thing to another one.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. So it is phenomenal.
A different form of therapy.
Another form of therapy.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
I never really thought about doing anything for a while until my sister-in-law, she was having a lot of emotional issues. And I knew from school that she could be helped with this trauma from regression therapy, hypnosis. So I'm like, I wish I wasn't, but I'm such a perfectionist. I need to be really good at everything I do before I do it. So I became a master hypnotist in 2009, and I went to go help her. Well, she's a Jehovah's Witnesses. My in-laws are Jehovah's Witness. So it was against their religion. I mean, go figure. Of course, you know. You know, they're wonderful, wonderful people. That's fine. I chose this. So I couldn't help her. But I had all this knowledge and training. So I just started my own little practice. And I would just see people for quit smoking, lose weight, and past life regression. And I noticed right away that there was something about this past life regression thing, because people would have all kinds of issues and it would take so long with the, you know, lose weight, quit smoking, but just one past life regression was enough for them to totally revamp their life. So I really, you know, went further into this. And during that time, Dr. Brian Weiss was really popular. So I studied with him and I got really good at his method, and I just started, you know, seeing clients and doing that method. But I felt this nagging feeling like there's something missing. I mean, it was great, but I felt that nagging feeling, you know, that little inner voice that was driving me to do something else. And I hope I'm not freezing. I just noticed it's freezing a little. But so I talked to a psychic. And she said, oh, you're supposed to do Dolores Cannon's QHHT. And I thought, what is that? Oh, that's funny. And she said, it's Dolores Cannon's method of like a past life regression. I thought, wow, I've never heard of this. So I looked it up and I thought, I don't have time for this. I just, you know, I'm too busy. And then like a week after that, a hurricane happened. So I had so much time. And then I thought, oh my gosh, like, be careful what I wish for. I could use some money. And then my insurance sent me a check because I was displaced. So I had nothing but money and time. So I took the class, and it was just an instant connection when I took that class. I had goosebumps all over as soon as I even started that class, because I knew I had found what I was looking for. It was just, it felt like an instant recognition. And of all the things I've learned and all the things I've done and all the things I've tried, this by far just is the best thing because it is so effective. And so I, you know, just continued on that, and I took the level 2, and I thought, well, I can only take the level 3. You know, I of course, I got all my clients and did all that. And it took a long, it was a long process, but I thought, you know, I'll only take this level three if it's in Florida. So I checked it. No, it's not, it's, you know, somewhere far. And then a couple hours later, one of my friends said, did you know that they have a level three class? It literally just popped up in Orlando. I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? So I was the first one to click on and buy that. And I went there and expecting, you know, that it was going to be a long process. And, you know, I still can't even believe it. But I really, what I did was I asked some of my subjects what I needed to do. And what they said was I needed to pay really close attention to the level two work. I wasn't quite ready a couple times. So I did just that. And I really studied it. And I really just tried to apply everything I learned in class and just follow the rules. Because when I when I only had my level one, I thought that I should add things to the script or do things differently, that it was just too simple. At first I tried to like add this whole meditation before, you know, the induction, and it just didn't work. Things just didn't go well. So I learned from my level two to follow along with what Dolores taught. And once I did that, everything got better. And I just started to like hone the skills of what she taught instead of focusing on other things. So, and that just made a huge difference. And then when I found out I passed, my whole life has changed. I've been to Egypt, I've been to Peru, I've been to Mount Shasta. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing journey for me. So I'm really grateful to be here.
Sorry. We're grateful that you are here. So, and you brought up a good point. I mean, you were the first person. We've now had two others that have followed you. The first person that just made it through right at the class. And that was what I loved what you said as far as, well, I just did what you taught in level two. I just, you know, it was like, well, what a novel concept. you just did it. And that was great for you, so you really focused on it, because that is what that class is about. It's about honing the skills and showing you exactly what to do to keep it moving in that direction. And
yeah, definitely.
You know, so that, and that really is, you know, level three we say is about honing you. And so I think you had said you had been doing a lot of work on yourself, you know. And so see, that's where that, you know, it takes all of that.
And right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not just a technique. It's not just a technique that you do on people. There's like a whole thing here, you know, and it's a system for working with people that also helps you. And anyway, it's this whole thing.
It's a thing.
It's a whole thing.
Very well said.
I can't come up with another word.
But it is. It's a thing. Yeah. That's funny because I'm the one over here inhaling the paint fumes from the candy. You're talking funny here.
You should share some of that.
Oh, my God. Where's my candy?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, would you like some?
I think you contributed, didn't you, in Mount Shasta?
Yeah, you contributed already to the dish, to the chalice.
Oh my God, I'll just tell the story, okay?
There we go.
All right, so they sprung this on me, like a couple minutes before
Wait, filming. Who's they? Who's they?
I am Julia.
Oh, okay.
They were like, look at Julia. She's like, they were like, okay, you're going to be filmed for Gaia TV. Oh, great. And, you know, because I'm going to be doing a session, you know, on me. But I can put myself into hypnosis really easily. And the amount of growth that I experienced from doing these sessions in the live class is phenomenal. So I, you know, I take that opportunity, because the first time they did it on me in Peru, It was great. I experienced so much healing, and I found a son from a past life. Hi, Ethan. And it was so phenomenal. So anyway, they're doing a session on me in Mount Shasta, and Gaia just happens to be filming it. And when you're in hypnosis or in that theta state, it's basically just, it's a natural thing, but it's focused concentration. And now I was focused on the life that I was seeing. So I went to the first scene, and then they said, okay, let's move ahead to the next scene. Well, I had just gotten a reward for being really brave. Okay. I was so brave, and I was really handsome, just so you know. Right.
Yeah. You said that a lot.
Yeah. I'm hot.
I'm very handsome.
I was. And I found myself in this scene. Okay. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like I was just so focused on this scene. So, you know, like, I'm jerking off in a cup, like it's a sacred cup, okay? And it was so that they could have virgin births. But like, apparently this is really important to the story. But I mean, I was in front of like 100 people, and Gaia TV was filming me at, you know, during that time.
As you're talking about your donation.
Yes. There were other men there, though, you know, it's not just me.
Yes. Yeah. It was like, I think you said four or five.
Yeah.
Five.
And then you were all doing this process into the cup. Yeah. And then, so.
Into the cup. But, okay. So after the life, no one would let me live this down. Okay, I got cups for as presents, chalices, before, like, stop jerking off in class. Like, oh, it just never.
It's harder to eat the candy out of here, though.
So
it was a really cool scene. I mean, it wasn't, you know, what was happening there was really, really interesting as far as the story. You know,
yeah, so it's actually a very sacred thing. Yeah.
You know, my hand did hurt after, and I don't know if it was just like phantom pains or whatever, but this area was like really hurting. I don't know.
Family show, Sarah.
We're going to have to really family be careful show. Putting this one up.
Well, that's the embarrassing cup story.
Yeah.
Now,
I can't believe you told it.
I can't either. That was all just supposed to be the inside joke.
We weren't going to make you tell it.
But, you know, I'm sure the audience is appreciating it. I think our count went up to like... Let's see, yeah, that went skyrocketing. Yeah, we got a lot of people watching now. You want to tell another one?
No. Oh, my God.
No, that was a good story, though.
Mm-hmm. And I went to... Okay. My goodness, the time is flying. Wow. Okay. I want to, you know, one of the things that's so cool about, you know, about you and being out there and what you do is all the fantastic, marvelous healing that you are helping people to help themselves to do. And I love that's how you say it. These people are healing themselves. You keep it focused on exactly what it is. You know, you have no ego in this, and it's so gorgeous. And that's probably like, because how you focus on everything, I think that's why this works. You know, you there's certain people with that special element that, and that's what it takes. That's part of that working on yourself thing. You know, we get to that. It's that humbleness. It's that that process. You know, and I would love to hear some of your healing stories because they're fantastic. Or you know, anything you want to talk about because you have amazing stories in your sessions.
I do. Well, one of the most memorable sessions that I've had was this older woman. She was about 78, and she finally come for a session. She had a bunch of physical issues, but the main questions that she had were how her daughter, when she was younger, her daughter had passed in a fire, and how the fire started. Her theory was she was with a very abusive husband at the time, and he used to smoke, and she thought that maybe he had a cigarette that was lit and it burnt the house down, And she had always lived with this guilt because her daughter didn't make it out alive. And she had this feeling in the back of her mind that maybe she, in a state of panic, pushed her daughter away from escaping because she was in so much panic. So she really wanted to know what happened. Mm-hmm. So we asked her subconscious, and what happened was her ex had started the fire, and she had actually pushed not only her daughter into the fire, but also her dog. And we spoke with her daughter, and her daughter said that before they agreed to come into this lifetime, that this woman, the 78-year-old, really, really wanted this to happen so that she could learn self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, that she needed something really, really tragic to happen to her to be the catalyst for this forgiveness. And her, as she is learning this, as she is hearing this, her whole, it was like I could see the transformation in her. And her daughter also said that she had reincarnated as her youngest daughter. About a couple years after the fire and after the passing, mm-hmm. she gave birth to another baby, and it was a girl. And that was actually her daughter coming back. And her daughter was so happy for this knowledge to finally get to this woman that it was just like an incredible experience for all of them. I mean, of course, she had some physical things that were healed, but that was just so incredible. And that was just one of the things that was just not a really so much a physical issue. Mm-hmm. But some physical issues that I've seen people heal from was there's one woman that had these fibroids that were severe, and she was about to get surgery on them, but she wanted to get a session to see if she could get rid of them before surgery, just, you know, as a last resort. I'm usually people's last resort and the best thing that ever happened. So I came for a session and found out her subconscious said that the fibroids were actually guilt from having two abortions. There were two fibroids. Mm-hmm. And what was really amazing was the babies came through and they said, we chose to do this. You know, how could you think that we would not have knowledge that you might abort us? From where we come from, we have all the knowledge, and that there was nothing for her to be feeling guilty about. This was chosen by all of them. You know, they wanted to come in for just a short period of time too. That was what their mission was in this life, was to just come in for a brief time and then exit. And that way they chose it all. It was like an agreement. And she realized that she had been storing this guilt, and that's why the fibroids were there. And we asked all the other, you know, questions or anything else, you know, she needs to understand from having this physical issue. And, you know, they said, no, she can release and heal it right now. You know, that was just so incredible for her. She didn't need to get the surgery.
Wow. Which that's big. That's huge.
Because was scheduled for just a couple weeks, I believe, after. So it was amazing how they just dissolved.
And that's what happens. When you find out what it's about, then it doesn't need to be there anymore and it will go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Can we, and this is super fantastic. I do want to, you kind of jumped right into this story from the other one. I would like to go back to that a little bit more just because it wasn't physical healing. There was a ton of healing there, it sounds like.
Her whole life had been changed because she didn't have to have that guilt. And when she came out, she was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to just totally live a new life, because she realized she didn't have to hold on to all that guilt. And she was 78.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful. I mean, I think to understand that we do have agreements when we come in, we have contracts, we have all these things happening, and this is all planned ahead of time. And I love that. It was like, so that she could learn this. I mean, I never saw that one coming. I never, that is amazing. Right.
So it's like, was amazing.
That's why it's really, really good to get this insight.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I see these miracles every day. Well, not recently because of the quarantine. Well, actually, that's not true. My son healed himself. I was able to do a session with my husband using him as a surrogate. And my son had astigmatism. So he wore glasses. He could barely see things far away. He couldn't see the blackboard. And we found out in the session that it was because he blurred his own eyes, since he's a very, very sensitive soul. He blurred his own eyes because he was afraid of what he would see. He didn't want to see the world clearly. The body is so literal. Yes. So he didn't want to see the world clearly. So he had blurred his own eyes. And I asked all the questions, you know, does he need this anymore? No, he doesn't need this anymore. He can release it because he's not afraid of what he sees. So it was funny because he is completely healed. Now his eyesight is better than mine. And what's even funnier is that he thinks this is like no big deal because he's so used to this, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, he is excited to show his teachers that he doesn't need glasses anymore. And I'm really excited I don't have to go back to the eye doctor.
That's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's another good point there is you did it during this time, you know, where people are just going, well, we can't do anything. We're just going to have to wait around and, you know, till we're given permission to, you know, live life again, whatever. And, and here your son's healing himself. I mean, it's productive.
I mean,
fantastic.
At least we have something done. But I have been able to do a few little sessions on my family member, you know, and learn some interesting things. Can I just share one thing that I
learned? I was going to ask you about that. There was supposed to be a big reveal or secret coming up today.
Well, it's not a QHHT session exactly because it was very short. No one's paying me and it's a family member. And I used a keyword. So I asked, why didn't you guys tell me what was going on? Why was this kept a secret from me?
Now, when you say this, what do you mean?
Okay. I mean, am I allowed to say the word, the C, quarantine? Okay, the quarantine. I don't know if that's allowed. All right.
What are the rules?
Okay, this show will be censored for, you can say the other stuff, but you can't say this.
Yeah, you said the other thing. I think you can say.
Really? I'm not going to be censored. I can say everything. I mean, I don't want you guys to get in trouble. I'll leave all the conspiracy theory stuff out.
Okay. Yeah.
This or whatever.
Yeah, now you've really got my curiosity.
I thought I would tell you. Okay.
Use your words, Sarah. Use your words.
So what they said was really, I found it really interesting. They said, no, it had to be kept secret from everyone so that it could be a level playing field. No one could know. And some people were picking up on it maybe last year. Or they had to really, you know, change things so it was kept a total secret so it could be a level playing field. And I was like, why does it need to be a level playing field? Because we're all, most of us, are balancing karma. And I was like, what, why? I mean, there's just one time with a cup, you know, but that was in Lemuria. they said, we're balancing karma from ancient civilizations. Mm. And so I said, which ones? What you call Lemuria and Atlantis. Okay, so tell me more about this. They said, after those civilizations perished, when both groups met in the afterlife to go over that life, there was so much trauma, so much, this is really interesting, wishes that they had asked for that weren't fulfilled. And when you want something, you get it. It just can take a little while to be fulfilled. So there was so many desires and it needed to be balanced. And us as a collective chose this way. We all decided this was going to be the way to rebalance the karma. And And I asked, you know, how are we doing? We're right on track. We're rebalancing this. But one thing to understand that they told me, because I said, you know, are we in trouble? No. That's not what they mean by rebalancing karma. It means it's just a redo. Those civilizations ended abruptly. We're not planning on restarting you guys. You guys have made it to the point where you can keep going. This has never happened, because the restart has happened so many times that there's no number. It's infinite. So this is the first time we're not going to have a restart, and we are at this point for a reason. So this is like a huge point in time. And I asked, what is the future of QHHT? Because I, you know, I'm missing my clients and I want to help everybody. And they said the huge surge, there will be like a surge. It'll be unprecedented. Like people will just be coming for a QHHT session from everywhere. It's going to be, you know, just like this mass of people coming for a session. It's going to be they said, this is the growth we were telling you about. And this needed to happen for that, because everybody, and I asked why, everybody needs to go inward. Everyone needs to discover who they really are, you know, their true purpose. They really need to find themselves, because this time it's really important to be authentically yourself and not try to be somebody else, you know, really be curious about who you really are and go into who you really are and ask questions about who you really are. So this method is going to be so important and the catalyst for all of this growth, really. So I thought that was very exciting.
Yes.
Very much. Yeah.
I mean, all of this, I have been seeing that. I mean, like, I think I've talked about it before, like just things on TV and stuff that when I do watch it, it's so different than anything we've ever experienced before, as far as, you know, everybody's pulling together and it's all these supportive messages. You know, if you don't watch the news anyway, just all the, like the commercials and things like that, there are a lot of support, and it's very different. And so I think that is what it is. It's like, you know, we're all here together. We're doing this, and it does, you know, encourage, you know, self, whatever, discovery.
Because we're moving into the cycle of time, they were saying, where we're going to actually learn to be accepting of one another. Instead of, like, you know, being having discrimination towards one another, we're really learning to embrace changes. And we're it's almost like we're bringing up the shadow and getting rid of it in all ways, like government ways.
Nice. Nice. Very good. Yeah.
And the best part about that is you get rid of your shadow, then the mirroring of your shadow doesn't happen anymore.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just shifts everything.
Mm-hmm. Can you two keep talking? And I'm going to turn a light on, so I'm going
to I was wondering, do I need to tell her she's getting really dark over there?
So, leaning in. I'm going to black myself out for a minute. Keep talking amongst yourselves, and I'll be right back.
Okay. She's going to come back nice and bright.
Yes.
So anyways, okay. these stories, tell me about your journeys with being a level three. You turned level three, you started moving into assisting with classes and different things like that. So
those have just been really amazing, because I've also, while I'm in these classes and assisting with these classes, I've learned a lot about myself, because I'm going inwards on myself more and more. And it's interesting, but I feel like I'm getting close to being like you guys, you know, psychic a little bit, and getting like information, because
are you kidding me?
Well, you are so psychic. I feel like I'm always like, oh my gosh, like Julia doesn't call me out on this.
You know, I learned from Tracy.
Tracy is so psychic. I called Tracy one time and I said, I really want to sell this boat, because we have a boat dealership. And she said, I get this feeling like someone doesn't have time for this. And it was literally right after my husband said, I don't have time for this. The two of you.
I think they just have humor sometimes when they give you stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Sarah, do not sell yourself short. I have seen you do amazing things. So I think it's funny. It's like, you know, there's a tendency not to recognize it or not to acknowledge within yourself, you know. But if you see it in others, guess what?
I know. Or a mere hologram. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was really interesting, too, in the mini session that I had, because they were explaining it to me, like, we all have this bubble of our own reality, and sometimes it touches one another, but it's our reality. It's, like, completely ours, and, you know, I know you were talking about backdrop people today in your show, and it's really interesting how we're such powerful creators. We are creating all the time through our thoughts and focus and stuff. And so that was how they explained it to me. And
that's really good. That's really helpful to understand that, you know, because it is, each person is their own universe. It's like you are the center of your universe. And that's like that bubble. And then we are the creators of our plays. And so there again, I mean, that helps form the visual of it even more. It's like if you've got this bubble and that is your world, and you're putting everything in there, that's your play. And it just, some of these concepts are a little tricky to kind of wrap your head around and understand. So we need all the help we can get.
It's hard when your mind's not ready to accept things, because I know for me personally, when I was starting to learn these things and how much power I really had over myself, I read an Abraham Hicks book, and I read a little bit of it, and I threw it out. I was so mad. Like, I did this.
You and like 8 billion other people on the planet.
That's what I always say. That's usually the first reaction when you
start to go dirty. Pick it back up.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like when we say you are responsible for everything in our life, it's you. Yeah. And that's what you want. Me? I did this?
Why would a child be sick? Why would a, you know, and there are reasons why.
Oh my gosh, I know. There are huge reasons. And people always want to know that. Why did so-and-so get sick? And it's amazing and healing when you find out what they chose for themselves in this life. And one thing that I did ask, I was really curious as to the people that are passing during this. You know, how is this for them? I've just been curious because my heart goes to the families and to the people. And they said, what I thought was interesting, that it's a very deep choice that they have. So they don't know this consciously, but it's as they're about to pass, there's like a moment where they get to decide with their team, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And it's almost, they're explaining it like, it's almost like a recognition and an excitement, like, oh, that's where I want to go. And a lot of them, they said, are going into a different dimension. So this was their bridge to get there. And I thought that was really interesting. And the whole death process is such a beautiful thing from hearing it over and over again, you know? So, I mean,
I have something to add to that, Sarah, if I may. Yeah. I asked the same kind of question. What about the death that's going on right now with the virus? And I was, not everyone that's crossing, but some of those that are crossing are coming back in the new frequency. They're coming back as what I've been keep getting told, they're children of the sun. So they're coming back as children of the sun, and they needed the new frequency. So they're leaving the body they have so that they can come back in a new one and have the higher frequency to finish what they started.
So, oh, I love that.
That makes sense.
And it's giving me chills to tell it to you. But yeah. Some of the answers that are coming in right now, it's like we're in this time that's like tragedy and all this stuff is happening. And then you start asking questions and you're like, oh that makes sense. That's beautiful. Well, that's a graduation day. That's not a punishment, you know? So
you have to pull yourself back and remove emotions and get that bigger picture. These big, beautiful answers.
Yeah. That's
That's exactly. And I really feel for the people that just, you know, they're not quite there yet. They don't, you know, believe this stuff, because I know how hard it is to really go into that when you're just new and you're just learning about this kind of stuff. It's almost like scary because it's so new and different. So
yeah,
I totally understand.
Can I take just 1 second to tell the audience how amazing they are? Every time you see me look over, it's because I'm looking at the chat room and everybody's in there talking with each other and making little comments. So Sarah, afterwards, please go to these videos and look at the comments that everyone's leaving for you. They're great. And I just want to say hi to the audience because they're right here with us, sharing this with us. And
shout out some names.
I love doing names, you know that. So hello, Joanne. Hello, Tracy, Julia, Therese, Violet, Gerald, Sherry, Barbara, Summer, Chris, Linda, Tiffany. Let's make sure we're not repeating names there. And I got 2 chat rooms going, so sorry, I got to bounce over to another one. Dorothy, Karen, Rita, Kelly is in another one. And we've got Debbie. And Kelly and Chris in that one. Okay, so that's just some of the names that were popping up as you asked me. So there we go. I'm sorry if I missed anybody. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, Tracy, for keeping track of all that and watching it.
Yeah, I just love to pull the audience in because they're the reason we're here, and you know, they're amazing. And I always feel the love when I'm watching them make their posts and stuff. So
I feel that someone has a burning question. And so
burning one.
Yeah, so if they have a burning question,
Sarah?
I want them to post it. I feel like they have a
burning question. I can't wait to hear it.
There's somebody here. I don't know who it is, but I just feel like somebody really, really wants to ask Sarah a question, and they're holding back, but I'm saying now ask. Just go ahead and ask it.
Now I gotta watch. Now I get to be all focused over here. Who's gonna ask that question?
Yeah,
I got a question.
No, there is somebody with one. Anyway, I leave it up to you to post it. It's, you know, that's up to you. But what's your question?
They're even listening while they're grocery shopping. That's awesome.
That's multitasking.
Awesome.
That's good. No, but if you have a question for me and you're embarrassed to ask it or whatever, you can just email me. My website is www.thetheholistichypnotist.com. And you can ask me whatever you want. Everyone
knows that just got very interesting, didn't it?
Okay, well, I have a question over here.
That's
Are you seeing it, Tracy?
Yeah. How do you feel about beauty and its role in life coaching physical beauty?
Oh, is that for me? Question. You know, I feel as we're away from each other in this quarantine that there's actually less, it's like the emphasis has been taken off of that. And I really feel we're moving into a new era where it's not about that at all. It's about who each other authentically is. And I think people are really drawn to the light in someone else. Does that answer the question?
Well, I think so. And I think, because that's exactly what I was picking up from what you'd said earlier, is about being authentic. And, you know, and that comes from within, you know, we see the beauty in each other from within, and that's always shining out. And so, right. You know, it's like we see, I mean, it translates into physical beauty. It may not be what we think is, I was like, oh my gosh, I look horrible. But because we know the person inside, that's what's coming through. It's like, and so they are both equating. I think it's fun. Like, again, those commercials are these, I don't know what else to call them that they're putting out. I watch HGTV, you know, so they're putting out, maybe they're just more real. I don't know. I just don't watch the other ones, but they've got all these people that regularly do shows on there are doing spots, and they are no makeup, no nothing. Yeah. They're at home. They got the kids. They got the laundry. They're just being real, and they're just talking. You know, it's like here we are. So it's like they're showing, hey, we're one with you. You know, and they're just being themselves. It's love. I mean, it's just fantastic.
Okay, kids, you opened a can of worms. So whatever that is going on there, you can read it to her, and then I have 3 things. We're going to say hi to Erica. She says she loves hanging out with us Little Miss Middle Miss.
Hey, Erica.
Now we have two questions. What was his response here?
Well, it just says, I have a belief that physical beauty is like gravity, and therefore you must be more powerful and loving because you were given symmetry. And then another one, so the beautiful people have more responsibility to others than more due to their symmetry. Okay. Well, I think, again, it's just, you know, this, and this sounds like I'm feeling a belief here. So, you know, got some belief stuff, but it's, you know, maybe, I mean, people have different things that they're working with in their life, you know, and it could be, I mean, especially if physical beauty is a priority, you know, and you're making it everything, your whole identity and things like that, then that could be something that you are needing to work with.
Okay. So I'm going to ask these fast because now we're running out of time. So Therese would like to know about your lounger. What do you use for the hypnosis? And that could be the videos you're putting out.
Okay. Yeah. I don't use a leather recliner because my clients are so sensitive that I think that if I used any kind of thing that was dead, they wouldn't appreciate it since they're picking up on so many vibrations. It's just a plain old lounge chair.
Okay. Here's a good one that's going to involve Julia as well. So Rita says, I have a question. What is the cause of the pain in my right knee? It is getting worse every day, and I think I know the answer, but not sure. So go, ladies.
The right side is usually the present time.
Right.
And
right now.
Anything in the knee is usually feeling afraid to move forward. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Yeah, and when it's in joints like that, this is another thing that's really been coming through lately. You know, joints represent flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's something about flexibility and movement on the path right now. Now, when did this start? There's some major questions that have to be asked around this to really help get the answer. So when did this start, Therese?
No, Therese was the lounge chair. This is Rita. Okay. Rita, when did this start?
Rita, okay.
Okay. And then, so while we're waiting for Rita to answer, when did this start? Tara is asking, my back is bothering me and I think it's ascension symptoms. What do you guys get with her back? And again, we don't know what part of the back, but what do you get?
Yeah, see, that's where, when you're doing this, see, there's questions that are asked around it. It's not just, oh, hey, I've got this, tell me what it is. I mean, this is, and how all this work works is you are doing it for yourself. And so through questions, you are helping yourself to understand the message and do the healing.
Okay, so Rita says a month ago.
Okay, then the next question is, what was going on in your life at that time?
And this is going back to the right knee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so any psychic hits on the back for Tara? No?
I don't know. No, this is something, and this is part of her thing. Well, maybe that's my psychic hit. This is part of her thing is she's got to work on this herself through this process that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the same questions we're asking about the knee, you asked that about the back. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the process. So Sarah, more healing. Let's talk about that. Some other things that you've seen, because this is how this helps people is they understand the bigger messages that they're being given. And we just did this. I guess I can go ahead. This will be the first time I'm announcing this. Okay, but I am working on and very, very close to having completed an online course for Soul Speak. So, and yay. I've interviewed both of these ladies to understand some of their beautiful cases that they've had to help relay in, you know, messages that come through for clients and how this always translates. So, and in that, you were giving, both of you gave things on the back. I mean, Tracy, we were just working on she was doing it herself. And then Sarah, you were, you had all these different ones you were working with. Okay. What comes to mind right now to share?
Well, I had this one man. Oh, do you want to start? Mm-hmm. Oh, I had this one man come, because he had a really bad back. And he found out in the session that he, well, let me just say before that he really wanted, he didn't like his job, and his dream was to be a charter boat fisherman. I mean, we live in the Keys. So that was what he wanted to do, but he was doing construction. And his subconscious said that it was a message for him, because not only because of the lack of support from his family, but because he was, it was a message that he was doing backbreaking work. It was like literal, like you're doing backbreaking work. You know, you're not being supported on this. And he was supposed to follow his dream. And it was a message, you know, follow your dreams, do what you really want to do. And they even told him, you know, you'll be taken care of.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's another thing. Can I just say, I asked, like, what is all these, you know, these light workers, what are we supposed to do if we can't work? And they said, you'll be taken care of, that you will notice that. And I also asked, what about the people that weren't walking the planet during Atlantis or Lemuria? What about, you know, the volunteers? And they said, oh, they're just here for what this will clear. They're
oh,
here.
Oh, interesting.
For- yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting too.
That makes so much sense. And, you know, and it makes sense is from this point of view that in so many sessions, people said, like, this time, it put some relevance to it. They said, this time, so many souls are coming in just for just a, like maybe a few minutes or something, and they'll just come in and leave, and then they, that way they can say, I was there.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, you know, now it's like for the experience, but also for the clearing. That,
yeah.
Total sense.
Very yeah. Nice.
Okay, perfect. Did we get anything back from reading or the person?
Rita.
And that's where if we could share some stories like that on backs and things. I mean, you're usually carrying a load when it's the back. Something yeah. about delegating, something about feeling not supported. It depends on where it is. So that's some of your clues. And then, but you've got to, how this works, and this is, it happens in a session, it happens without a session. You have to go inward. Mm-hmm. We heard that before. You have to go inward and ask and get your answer. Yeah, go ahead.
I have like a really great way to do inner work that's super easy. Just, it's like a like the way I kind of judge what kind of work I have to do, I'll listen to like an old song from childhood, one that gives me the goosebumps, and I'll feel if it makes me feel good or if I have like feelings of sadness, and then I'll go from there. Just like a little hack, inner work hack 101.
I love it. That's great. That's very awesome. Good. Okay, I'm just looking at this. I thought I saw a time limit. So we do not have a time limit. So
we are going to drop off though at the top of the hour. So okay. If you are listening and we drop off, we love you guys. Come back and yeah. watch the rerun because we're still talking.
Yeah, and we will go ahead and wind it up here pretty quick, pretty soon. How about a parting message, Sarah? Just what would you like to share with everyone?
I'm sure it's been said many times, but even if you feel completely alone, you feel completely sad, and you think there's no support, you have so much support, so many guides that have agreed to help you on this journey, and you're never, never alone. They always say that when they finally get to speak. It's like, we've been trying to send them messages nonstop. You're always surrounded with love.
Can I share something with that too? Because I just had a conversation with a friend that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And Effie's listening. I hope it's okay to share this. No names will be mentioned. But he was saying that his daughter's car broke down. And with this quarantine, you know, they've been dealing with being laid off and all that, like a lot of people. And so then the daughter's car breaks down and he's starting it up. And all of a sudden this woman shows up and says, let me follow you to see if, you know, make sure you get home. I'll follow you as far as I can. And he ends up breaking down again before he gets home, and he's fixing the car and he tells her, go ahead and go home. I have my phone. I'll call you if I need a ride back. This is somebody he doesn't know who's going to come back and get him if he needs her to. And so he gets the car running again. He limps it home, and he just about gets home to the driveway and it breaks down again. And he's just like literally, you know, feet from the driveway. And these neighbors see that his car broke down. They come running over and they help him push it into the place they need it into. And he was saying just one after the other, the people that he needed at the time were showing up. And yet he was feeling that loneliness. He was feeling isolated. He was feeling that. And then all of a sudden, the world's just showing him, no, you're not alone. And we're sending you the people you need when you need them. So I take that as our message to, yeah, we might be feeling isolated, but let's take advantage of this time to really get to know who we are. This is our get to know me time. And the universe will show you you're not alone. You step out, you make a phone call, you do something to connect with someone, but we're in this quiet period for a reason. And, you know, how many of us have been living our lives for everybody else? You know, true. I'm a single mom. I'm living my life for everybody else, right? And Sarah, you've got 3 kids and a husband, and you're living your life all over the place. And Julia, you're running a business, and you're all over the place. So this quieter time is kind of like, no, this is about you now. Who are you? And remember who that is. And then that to me is what that big part of that reset is for us, is to remember who we are and to not forget that we need love and nurture from ourselves as well as from others, but, you know, nurture ourselves. So that's my parting message, because that triggered it with that story.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful message, and what beautiful confirmation. You know, to, because that's how it comes across all the time. I mean, they're always saying, just be aware, stay aware, and you will see how we're helping you and what we're doing, you know, because we can get into that despair place and not see or hear or notice anything that's going on around us. Yeah. Yet it's always going on around us.
It is.
And I think it's great to remember that the universe is always working for you. You know, it's not working against you. Even with this whole lockdown, there's a reason why it's happening. And it's working in your favor.
It is. It really is.
All right. Gorgeous. So gorgeous. I that beautiful. I think that's a wonderful way.
Is this where we say goodbye?
Yes. To end on this sacred.
Let's end on this sacred note.
I love you guys. You are fantastic. Thank you, Sarah, so much for being here and sharing
thank
all
you.
Your wonderful sacred wisdom with us.
Now I get it from Julia, too.
That makes my heart happy right now. Oh, my goodness. And Sarah, you're in Florida. Mm-hmm. When the quarantine is lifted and you can see clients again, tell them again how they get a hold of you.
Yes. They can go to my website, www.thehholistichypnotist.com.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Hey.
And Tracy, where are you?
I'm at tracymahan.com. So, and that's TracieMahan.com.
What part of the country are you in?
I am in Oregon, and I'm excited to start seeing some people in person again. So.
Me too. I'll be good.
Psychic hit. How much longer?
Oh gosh, I don't want to say.
Wait, there could be more than one question here. So how much longer before we can start seeing people in person, or how much longer will we see this get stretched
out? That was your statement. And so that's what, yeah. What does the heart say?
I'm going to say that they're going to start opening doors for practitioners like ourselves to see their clients again mid-May.
Okay.
Or June. It's right in there, like that cusp, like a 2-week time period where I think it's going to start opening up again. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I think about that time they'll start lessening restrictions for a little while.
Yeah, that's
a little while.
In the beginning, yeah, for a little while, okay. Oh, there's more to the saga, huh?
There's more to this. Part two.
But we'll be pros at it by then.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just keep feeling like not much. That all it says, because you guys are being more specific, I just keep, it says not much longer. That's the feeling.
Not much longer. Yeah.
Anyway. So it must be up to us.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because we created it, but also for our inner work and all the stuff we're doing. So as soon as
we get busy.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys, we're waiting on you. Come on, do it.
Together.
Get your work done.
Yeah. Get quiet and get your stuff done. Sarah has a theory that it's waiting for me to get my course done. And so as soon as it's done.
Because wouldn't the whole world stop for Julia? It would.
Yeah.
So I've been like, hurry up. Have you done any work on this?
Have you gotten that course done yet? Because
it's really close. It's really close. Good. Maybe launching in a week.
Yes.
I said it on schedule.
What we were saying about the world opening up again, isn't it? Yeah.
It'd be funny if it's on the same day.
Sarah's gonna be keeping track. It'll be like, Julia, you'll be like, you know, today feels like a good day to launch this class. Bing. And then all of a sudden the news will, breaking news. We're letting go of all restrictions.
It's all lifted.
All lifted right now. We don't know what happened. Something shifted.
Julia got off her ass and got the thing done.
All right.
I'm feeling, okay, gosh.
We're going to keep going.
Okay. I'm feeling that there's others out there that have been resisting and delaying and delaying. And so this is for you. That's why they wanted me to say this, because I have delayed and delayed and delayed for years. Years I've been being told to do this. And now it was like, I really got the major push message. Get this done now. And so that's why I've been working on it. And it has actually started falling into place. Once I got over my blocks and my own resistance, it just started falling into place. So someone or someone's out there, there's more than one, you're in a similar situation, and you wanted, that's why you also created this time and this setting, so that you can help yourself. You can do this and put yourself.
I'm going to confirm that, because I got up this morning and it was almost like the words were, just do anything, but you have to do something. Go. You have to do something. So I put stuff in motion today too, other than painting and crafts.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you make that?
You started a whole new hobby. Sacred chest.
Can you not tell that I painted that? That was a margarita glass.
That is gorgeous. You did a fantastic job on it. I saw the before.
It is tiny.
Oh my God. Wait, you were in on this? I saw the before.
Somebody may have helped me when I was sending pictures from the store going, what do you think of this one? What do you think of that one? Oh my God. The plotting.
You too.
Who's the instigator?
You guys are so psychic, you knew I would tell the story too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
We were hoping.
We were pretty sure. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely.
That was a good story.
Thank you for sharing everything that you are. And thank you for being you.
And hearing you. And thank both of you guys.
You know, I mean, this is where you, yeah. Thank you. Well,
okay, this is getting too mushy.
I know. Okay, enough of that. Love you.
Oh, is this where we say goodbye to the audience, or are we still going?
Yeah, I love you all, and thank you for being here with us. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Mwah! Guys, love you guys so much.
Love you.
Come follow us all on Facebook. Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about Sarah's little videos. That was going to
do that. He's still recording, so I guess we can.
Still recording.
Yes. Sarah, okay, this is how
tell us what you've been doing with your time.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Which videos?
See, we're very psychic. We know about those videos too.
Videos.
No, there really aren't any of those. Oh my God.
My cup has had a lot of use today.
No, well, you know, it's funny because we're all goofballs, me and my family, we're just so, I think, funny. It's just like a comedy show at my house. So we've been doing these family videos and they've been really fun. And we're just posting them on Facebook and Instagram. But my daughter is an amazing, she's 13. She's an amazing videographer.
She's been doing an excellent job, and they are funny videos. So
yeah, come check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. We're still live with the station. We're live. We're still running. Mm-hmm. What else you want to share, Sarah? What other videos do you make?
I have, you know, one of the things I'm really passionate about is because I want to help everybody. And I know a lot of people just don't have access to the information that we do. So I do have a little YouTube channel where I try to, you know, just, I post sessions with a subject. It's not, I don't post my QHHT sessions. I post sessions with a subject. Mm-hmm. And I put them out there so other people can learn or see or hear what I'm learning, you know, so that if, you know, if they're interested, they can go to my YouTube channel, which is such a long name. So you have to subscribe because my name is really long and I wasn't planning very well when I first got my YouTube channel, but it's Sarah Breskman Cosme Hypnosis. I'm not kidding. It's all those words. Okay. Better subscribe.
Wow. Now you have done some videos with Jason Ballet as well, and
he's so amazing.
Yeah, he's interviewed you on some of the sessions that you've had with Atlantis and some other things. So where would people find that?
They can find his sessions under Quantum Research and Enlightenment, and I believe he also has another channel. Mm-hmm. What is that one called? Do you know, Tree?
You're gonna make me look it up. That's the one that you are on mostly, by the way, dear. So, it is, I'm going to find it. You guys talk about something. I'll get another channel for you. So yeah, talk about anything, just something, do something.
It's really funny. But yeah, that's one of my passions is just to get that information out. And of course people have, can believe it, take it or leave it, you know, since you create your own reality, really our belief systems can change. But I like putting that information out. So it gives you the opportunity if it resonates with you that, you know, you can take it.
Right.
Okay. I got it. Is this a good time to share? Okay. It's you were on Guardians of Magic, YouTube page Guardians of Magic with Jason Ballet. And there's some interviews with you about ancient worlds and Atlantis and different things like that. So that would be fun for people to go check that out as well.
It is.
Okay, sorry.
I just wanted to tack one little thing on, like when you were talking earlier about when you first read that book and you just, you know, when you threw it against the wall when you realized that you create everything. And it's like the first response usually is anger, but then it starts moving. You know, from there, it's like, I like to always like, I did that, you know, and you're like, no way I would do that. No. And then it starts shifting. It's like, I did that. Yeah. And so it just shifts from anger and almost like a victim mentality or response to empowerment. To I am responsible, and if I'm responsible, then now I can do something about it.
Yeah, I can change that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that goes along with that physical beauty question, because we're all such perfect designs. Like, we mm-hmm. decided what we wanted to be, what we wanted to look like for a really specific reason, because mm-hmm. each person has their role, you know. So I just thought what you said correlated.
Oh, very good. Okay, very good.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Just so you guys all know, this is what it's like to get off the phone with these two, too. Okay, well, bye. Wait a minute.
I can bet. Yes, I ditto that. So one of us has to actually
say goodbye. All right, if anyone is still listening, we love you. Thank you for being here. Come back next Friday. We'll do this again. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want Sarah back, we'll have her back too, because she has tons and tons of stories.
Yeah, we'll do the Sarah 2.0
sessions. So if she's willing to come back, then maybe we can make this happen again.
You know, I put duct tape on my door so that my kids wouldn't come in, if you want to see. Oh, actually, you can't see.
So we saw that earlier. She sent that to us.
They're stuck out in the dark?
No, actually, they're heavily bribed. So
okay. Yeah, I heard there was ice cream involved.
Yeah, there is.
Yes, ice cream. You can get this. There, now they can see it.
Yeah.
That's right. the things we do to make these shows happen.
That's right.
It's really important that we have quiet space.
Yeah.
No interruptions. That's right. So
very cool.
And some of us forget to turn our lights on in the room. And they end up in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Good thing I turned that on, because it's totally dark outside now and you wouldn't be seeing it.
What if they just had little eyes?
That would be awesome. We should do a show just like that.
Yeah.
Just the eyes.
We could just shut all the lights off and just do glow sticks and do that.
Wait, I have one more thing I wanted to add.
Okay,
just really quick.
Now you guys, see, this is our world.
This is our world. Created this. Okay, Sarah.
Okay, but granted, it's up to you if it's in your belief system, but pretty soon they will realize, according to them, that certain blood types are not affected by whatever is going on.
Oh.
The O and the Rh negative are completely immune. And I asked you know, go inwards, decide if that resonates with you or not. And I asked why, and they said because the planet from where they are have been exposed to this before.
Oh, interesting.
Mm.
Any Rh negatives here?
I don't know my blood type. So, Julia, you're safe.
Yeah, we know who's going to go grocery shopping.
Sending you to the store.
How about you, Sarah? Do you know your blood type?
I think it's like AB or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you guys need to get checked out. That's interesting, though, because there's been several things correlated to blood type, you know, that I think they're just really starting to get onto and stuff.
Yeah, apparently this is going to change the whole way we deal with medicine and stuff like that. So there's a lot of great.
It makes sense that you're treating the blood type and not just treating everyone like they're the same.
Well, and if it has a history like that, well, it's like wherever that blood type came from,
mm-hmm. right?
It was supposed to. So that does.
Where did you come from?
Yeah, Julia.
Impress her. No. We're gonna find out.
Born in Kansas.
We didn't start. That's right. Yeah, that's really cool, though. I think medicine's going to come a long ways, I think, as this new earth and this fifth dimension starts to evolve. Medicine's just going to be leaps and bounds. Yeah. All right. Very now cool. They're fading. Look at them. I've had sugar. I've been eating a lot of candy.
Yes, you have. Yes,
I can do this all day. Let's go.
And you're also two and 3 hours behind us.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's still light outside here. Saying. All right. On that beautiful note, you guys, let's really do the audience a favor and let this go. I love you guys.
Officially.
Love you.
Bye. Love you and goodbye.